Hello and welcome to another episode of Near Death Dolls. I'm Paige.
And I'm Lisa.
And we are your hosties with the mosties.
While talking about ghosties.
And other magical shit.
Ooh, Lisa makes a witty pun or dad joke here. Ha ha ha, everyone laughs. Come on, laugh. This week, Paige is going to be telling us something.
Paige agrees, but first, something else.
Whoa, crazy. Sorry, guys. We just we forgot to fill in the gaps in our intro with the correct information, so we just read as is. But you're not even listening to this part. It's fine. Paige, what are you drinking?
Water. H2O. Sorry, I should have said.
Love a good agua.
High quality H2O.
All right, water boy.
What about you, Lisa? What you got to drink?
I am drinking non-alcoholic, because Lisa got drunk not that long ago and it wasn't pretty. A watermelon flavored carbonated soft drink. What are these called? Oh. Ramunes?
Yeah.
Ramunes?
It's got like a little marble.
Yeah,
it has
a little marble. Oh, yeah. I'm like, where's the marble? I haven't plunged it yet.
Oh, so, okay. Got to plunge.
So I got the little plunger cap thingy. I'm going to push it down. Let's see if y'all can hear this. Hopefully it doesn't explode everywhere. All right. I haven't done this in forever.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, there we go. Oh, shit. Okay. Oh,
it popped. Oh, drink.
Oh, shit. It went everywhere.
Did it?
It just fizzed a little bit. It's okay. My desk is not going to be sticky. That's my own fault.
Do you want to go get a paper towel?
No, it's fine. Just wiped it down. But it's watermelon flavored. Pretty good.
It looks really good. I haven't had one of those in forever. Where did you go? Did you go to like World Market or
something? Yeah, I just went to World Market for this one. There's a really great little like Asian market in our town. In the main city. But it is on the wrong side. Wrong side of the tracks. No.
You got to go way over there.
It used to be right where we were renting a place, and then when we moved to our house, now we're not near anything. Now I don't go that side of town anymore. So, and that's where the good Asian Mart was. They had all kinds of good stuff, but yeah.
World Market's got good
they
stuff.
They do. It's good enough.
I love their chocolates.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they have good chocolates. Oh.
Those English chocolate bars that you can't get anywhere else.
Mm. I love a lion.
What?
Have you ever had the lion bars?
I've seen them. I've never had them.
They're good. They have, I think, like Krispies in them and caramel or something. I don't know. It's been forever since I had one, but yeah, they're good.
Nice. Lion. I used to love Aero. Did you ever try the Aero bars?
I have had the Aero bars before. They're pretty good. Pretty tasty. Good.
I like those bubbles in there.
Yeah, little bubble chocolate.
Yummy, yummy. Okay, well, our real topic today is Harry Keller.
Who?
Ah, good point. Good point. I think this is kind of a magician's magician, where if you're a magician, a stage magician, one of the nerds, and I'm calling them nerds. If you're like a nerdy stage magician and you're really into like the history of magicians, mm-hmm. you probably know who Harry Keller is. I only heard about Harry Keller because I dated a nerdy magician who told me all about it.
Oh, man.
We got stuck in traffic for 3 hours trying to get to the Denver airport. And, oh, I heard all kinds of stories about Harry Keller.
Well,
and some other ones, too.
I've only heard of Harry Houdini as a major magician, and my dad used to do amateur magic.
Did he?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I know.
Like cards?
He would do cards. He could make me disappear. I always came back, though, much to his dismay.
Cool. He's like, man, I gotta fix that trick.
Yeah. But no, he was friends. He is friends with a person that ran a magic store and slash costume store, and
super fun.
Oh yeah, so he used to hang out with him and like see how to do things. It was pretty cool. So, and then he took me to this place in Houston that's long closed, but it was called Magic Island. Have you ever heard of it?
Whoa, No. What happened?
It's near the Galleria, I think, if you're in Houston. But, and I think it's still there. It's just, it's been sitting there for years and years. But it used to be where you could go and have dinner, dancing, and there was stage magic. There was like big, like a large room for like big magic, and then there was private, like not private rooms, but smaller rooms where you could get up close with a magician. There'd be like less than 10 people in the room, like watching up close, like card magic. And I got to go there when I was a kid. It was pretty cool.
That is really fun. I love that kind of thing. It's like a dinner theater.
It was like a fancy thing. Like it was tie, like formal, not formal, but like men had to wear a tie and usually a coat, and ladies had to be in their best dress.
Their Sunday best for the magic show.
Indeed. I don't know. When I think of Sunday best, I think of you're going to church. And I would not wear what I wore to Magic Island to church. Oh, okay, maybe I would because I was a kid at the time. But it was like you wear a cocktail dress to Magic Island. You may not wear that to church.
Yeah, probably not. You probably just wear a skirt or something. I went to Aiden, my magician boyfriend. He took me to the Magic Castle in L.A.
The Magic Castle.
And it's similar. It was like, I don't know if they had full-on dinner. They definitely had a bar and like bar food. Mm-hmm. And then every room, there's a ton of rooms. It's this big mansion. Every room has a different theme of different magicians that have come and gone. Mm-hmm. Like Houdini, they got a Houdini room. They got a seance room.
Oh.
Super cool, man. And there's all these, I was about to say stupid, but they're all these like.
Don't offend anybody, Paige. Like,
I don't want to offend any magicians out there. They'll make my head disappear or something. But the way to get in is through one of them magical bookshelves that like turn, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, it's a door you didn't know. Yeah. Like little things like that's really fun.
Like the speakeasy style.
Yeah, speakeasy style. You have to have a magic password kind of thing. You do have to have a membership to get in or be dating a magician.
As you well knew.
As I knew at the time. And you had to dress up there too, so I wore a cocktail dress. Ooh. And he was like, ooh, and I'm like, I don't like this. I was uncomfortable the whole time.
Aw, just keep your legs together, you'll be fine.
Oh no, yeah, I was uncomfortable. There's just too many people.
Oh, not very the dress. Crowded. I thought you were just like hating on the dress.
Oh no. Okay. No, I just didn't. It was a lot of people in these little tight hallways and tight rooms, and I was just kind of like, ooh.
I can understand that.
Yeah, it was cool, though. It was. Social anxiety aside, it was really cool. But anyway, and that's another place where I learned a lot about Harry Keller. They've got a lot of artifacts from different stage magicians that have come and gone. Mm-hmm. And Harry Keller might have been what he's referred to as is the first great magician. So it's a good place to start.
That is a good starting spot with the first.
Yeah. The first great one. Because he came before Houdini. He gave Houdini some of his trip, you know, mm-hmm. gave him some tips and tricks mm-hmm. for the stage.
Not trips.
And yeah, basically he was the first big one in America, I should say.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Let's get started. So, Harry Keller was a very popular and successful magician in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. He predated and influenced Harry Houdini, whom he also considered a friend. Also, interestingly, it's rumored that the most famous American fictional wizard is based on Keller.
Who? What?
A fictional wizard.
A fictional wizard.
Yeah.
Should I guess?
If you want to. It's from like around the 20s, 30s, maybe 30s, 40s. Fuck. But when you hear it, you're going to be pissed. You're going to be like, oh, of course.
Merlin?
I give you a little hint.
Who? All right.
Somewhere.
Oh, the Wiz.
The Wiz. The big whiz.
The big cheesy whiz.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes. Originally, they think that it was based on Harry Keller. Harry Keller was very popular in his time. And then the illustrations for The Wizard of Oz had him as like a short, bald guy in a nice tuxedo. Mm-hmm. And that was Harry Keller's kind of signature look. So they think maybe a little influence there.
That's cool. Or if you're like Merlin. Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Dreamlight Valley. So
you're like fictional wizard. Harry Potter? What?
Oh, and even okay, how did I not even, well, obviously it would not be Harry Potter because that time does not make sense. But okay. I didn't even think Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's definitely not Harry Potter. But, you know, who knows? Maybe a little bit. But in any case, he's very well known in the magician circle. And like I mentioned, I've never been a magician myself. But I dated a guy, and he told me lots of great stories, some of which have been true, like that of the life of Harry Keller. And today we're going to discuss his life, magic, and his acquiring of other people's tricks.
That's a big thing.
As well as some difficult moments in his life, like when he lost all of his possessions on a shipwreck.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah, yeah, he was alive.
Oh, that's but, good. You know, he survived.
Thing. Yeah, yeah, at least he was alive.
Yeah.
And lastly, we shall dissect and discuss his most famous trick, the levitation of Princess Karnak.
Ooh.
Pretty cool.
That sounds fun.
Pretty cool. Before we get started, I'm going to send you two posters to look at that we will discuss throughout or later in the episode.
Okay.
Not dogs. I have lots of pictures of dogs to send. But
I get those all the time.
Yes, you do. You're welcome, and I'm sorry.
No, I love it. I love it.
Good. Okay. So there's two posters we're going to talk about later.
Okay. Should I look at them now?
You can if you want. Get a little, just get a
little
taste. A
little taste. Okay. Pretty. I love the style.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Like the drawn. Would that be Art Nouveau?
Yeah, deco? Kind of like an art.
Maybe a blend? Deco? Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's real cool anyway. And a lot of people I've seen have posters of those old-timey magician posters in their house, like framed, and it always looks super cool. But yeah, so we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
By the way, here are a few videos I watched on Keller. So it's a little bit of my sources. And I wanted to confirm what my ex-boyfriend told me, because he had a lot of like interesting twists to stories that weren't necessarily true. Like when he helped me with our Ouija board episode, he told me that the guy who invented the Ouija board was... Elijah Wood was the name of it. And I was like, oh, that's funny. He's like, yeah, isn't it funny? I looked it up. His name was not Elijah Wood. So he just makes things interesting. He's an entertainer.
Not a truth teller.
Not a truth teller. He's an entertainer. And I'm not even sure if he knew that that wasn't correct. He probably just like got it stuck in his head at some point. So anyway, I wanted to make sure of this information.
Good for you.
And thank you. These are the videos I watched. The Dark Secret of the Great American Magician. And that's on the Art of Impossible channel on YouTube. And Harry Keller, the Master Magician and Wizard of Wonders on the Bio Graffiti channel on YouTube.
Bio Graffiti. That sounds fun.
I know, right? I was like, Bio Graffiti. Okay. So, without further ado, let's get into his early life. Harry Keller was born Heinrich Keller in 1849 in Erie, Pennsylvania, to German immigrants. Later, he changed his name to Harry, and he changed his last name from Keller, which was an E-R, to Kellar with an A-R.
Any reason why, or just did it?
Later on, and I don't think this is true of when he first changed it, later on he said, oh, there was a different magician with a similar name. And we'll talk about that later, because he got accused of stealing that guy's name. And he's like, no, I spelled my name different.
Okay.
I don't even think Harry Keller, for me, Harry Keller does not roll off the tongue. It's not a stage. Harry Houdini, that's a cool stage magician, you know?
Yeah.
I don't, yeah, whatever. He was the first, so he didn't know what he was doing.
That's true.
So Harry began performing at an early age, but as a daredevil. Hmm. When he was hanging out with other boys, Harry would stand on train tracks, wait for the train to approach, and then dramatically jump away at the last minute to freak his friends out. Like, ah!
Yeah, that would look. No, just no.
I don't like it.
I don't like that. I don't like Maybe it they all. Were moving a lot slower and back in those days. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe. I know. All I know is that my grandpa got hit by a train when he was a little kid, probably pulling some similar stunt like this. And it messed up his foot so bad that he didn't have to go to World War II. So,
oh, damn.
He didn't get drafted.
It's giving me fried green tomatoes vibes. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it does sound like my mom's like, I grew up fried green tomatoes.
Goodness.
It was her dad.
Oh, yeah. So,
anyway. But, yeah, he was a bit nuts. He liked to get attention, I suppose. And his first actual job, he was at the age of 10, so, you know, child labor laws weren't yet quite there, but, he was an apprentice to a local drugstore.
Okay.
Now, seeing that young Keller had a healthy curiosity, the owner encouraged Harry to experiment with different chemicals.
Why? That does not sound safe.
It does not sound safe. It's like, oh, 10-year-old boy, he's curious. Of course he's curious. And also, probably you shouldn't be leaving him alone with these dangerous chemicals.
My Lord.
So he enjoyed experimenting. And one day, when fucking around, possibly in order to find out, he reportedly blew a hole in the shop floor.
Yeah, that'll happen when you leave kids alone with chemicals and say, have a good time. Just don't burn the place down. Shit. I didn't want a hole in the floor either.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he got so embarrassed and he knew he was in huge trouble. So rather than try and explain what happened to his boss or even worse, his immigrant parents, he hightailed it out of Pennsylvania and went on the road to start his life of magic.
At 10 years old?
At 10 years old, he was like, ooh, I burned a hole in the floor. I better
I gotta start
strike out on my own.
I gotta start a new life.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And he did. Now, though, you know, as we've mentioned, this is in 1849, so it's a little bit of a different time period, but still. So, once Keller ran away, he was taken in by a minister. The minister said that Harry was welcome to stay, and particularly he was welcome to stay if he was willing to enter the priesthood, and the, you know, minister would pay for it and everything. Now, Harry wasn't opposed to the idea, but I think that at the age of 10, he was probably just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, so sure, I'll do that. But him and the minister attended a magic show.
I'm surprised that the minister even did, the minister even was down.
For the magic show? I thought so too. I was like, oh, well.
Progressive.
This probably changed his mind because Harry was like, oh, I want to be a magician.
I want to do that.
Yeah.
Cut people in half.
That's more fun.
Absolutely. I've already popped holes in the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm good at this. Yeah, exactly. So he thought it looked really cool. He met with the magician whose name was Isaiah Hughes, but his stage name was the Fakir of Ava.
The Fakir?
The Fakir.
Wow.
Of Ava. And I looked it up. Fakir is a word used by Hindus and Muslims to describe someone who is basically like a pilgrim. Like they're going around. They don't have a house. They just beg for food and money.
Oh, so.
But they're religious.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So he was. I don't think he cared what the word meant. I think he just thought it sounded cool and foreign. So he said the Fakir of Ava. And he was actually originally from the UK.
Oh, okay.
That was Harry Keller's first teacher mm-hmm. of magic. Now, with his love of magic ignited, Harry left behind his minister friend and became the assistant to the fakir of Ava. At the age of 16, Keller did his first solo performance, which tanked, did terrible.
He dropped all the cards. He actually sawed someone in half.
Yeah, he actually sawed someone in half. Yeah. Whoopsie.
He starts noticing a little blood and screaming. Ooh, that wasn't right. Oh. That's a... I'm going to run away again. I'm not going to answer for
gotta
this.
Change my name.
Yeah, I got to change my name again. Shit.
Yeah, exactly. But he kept on helping the fakir and, you know, was like, I'm going to make this work. So eventually he would become a famous stage magician. Now, when he went solo by himself, he found that it was really hard to make enough money to cover the costs of performing and, you know, buying his tricks and his outfits and things like that. He borrowed and took out loans in order to have set pieces. And he always had a fancy suit. Like we mentioned before, his kind of iconic look was a nice tuxedo. Mm-hmm. That's just not cheap.
What did the fakir of Ava wear? Was it like...
He wore like a shroud looking thing.
Okay. I was kind of wondering.
Maybe like a Arabic style.
Now, was he white? Like you said he was from the UK, but I don't know if he was white.
Yes, he was white. He was a white guy.
White dude.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of that back in the day. Oh, did you ever watch The Prestige?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love that movie so much. Yeah.
Me too. I loved that movie. I think in The Prestige, they showed a guy who was pretending to be like he was from China, mm-hmm. but he was a white guy.
Oh, was he actually a white guy? Shot.
Yeah. I don't know in The Prestige if he was a white guy, but the guy that they were basing him on was a white guy pretending to be a Chinese guy.
Okay. Yeah. No, the guy. Yeah. Okay. Well, if anyone hasn't seen it, I don't want to give it away because it's so good. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay.
No spoilers, I guess. But anyway, so he had taken out all these loans, and since he couldn't pay anyone back, one day he was in an auditorium performing magic, and he looked around during his performance, and he noticed that at least half of the audience was made up just of people who he owed money to who were trying to get in touch with him. They were like, I know where you're going to be. So he didn't like that. So halfway through at the intermission, he got his bags of everything. He packed up all his luggage, threw it out the back window, and escaped out the back window halfway through the show.
He made himself disappear.
Them. Yeah, yeah.
Pew. And now I will disappear forever. Goodbye, loan sharks.
I know, right? I watch one of them be the pharmacist who he blew a hole in his floor. He's like, you owe me for that floor.
He stole me for the floor.
Yeah. People are falling in it every day. Mm-hmm. So that was one of his greatest tricks, right? He disappeared from his debt collectors. Now, this is where we get a little bit of tie-in to one of the previous episodes we've done. Do you remember when we did the Fox Sisters?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they did like they were the kickoff for spiritualism.
Yes.
Especially on stage. Well, the reason I bring up the Fox Sisters is because at the time, right when after the Fox Sisters started up and started getting popular, there was another group of stage mediums, we'll call them, except they were brothers, not sisters. And they called themselves the Davenport Bros and Fey.
And Fey? Like,
and
F-E-Y?
F-A-Y, yeah. F-A-Y. It's just a guy. Just some other guy that was with them.
It's like Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey.
Yeah, exactly. At least that rolls off the tongue. This is Davenport Brothers and Faye. It's just dumb. They're not good at names.
The Davenport Brothers and Faye.
Yeah, and he's over there like,
I'm Faye. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. And they're like, why did you bring Faye along?
Well, he helped with the costume, so.
Pretty much. I think he was just like a stage helper or something.
One of the brothers, they're dating his sister, so.
Yeah, exactly.
We had to.
They had to let Faye do something. But that's who Harry Keller started working with, because his solo act was so expensive and he wasn't getting any money. He decided to start working with the Davenport Bros and Faye. And they got their idea from the Fox sisters. And if you remember, the Fox sisters would pop their toes under a table. And this popping sound is supposed to be ghosts communicating with them. Mm-hmm. It was very popular. And the Davenports were like, well, let's take it up a notch. What they did instead was they had a box on stage, this big cabinet type thing. Assistants would come, tie them up, lock them in this box. And inside the box, the audience could see that there were instruments hanging, like fiddles and trumpets and things like that. Once they shut the box up, the instruments would start playing. But the brothers are in there all tied up. They can't do it. It must be ghosts.
Hmm. Interesting.
But it was
were they just like Slipknot, take it, play their fiddle or whatever?
Yep, you got it. They weren't tied up very tightly. Oh. They could untie and retie themselves back up after playing the instruments and be like, oh, see, I'm tied. I didn't do it. I don't think it's that great of a show, but then again, they didn't have Netflix, so they didn't have a lot to do.
Yeah, and that's probably new to them as an audience, so it probably was impressive.
Yeah, it was trendy at the time. Very. Kind of a ghosty show. Yeah. So they were probably like, ooh, ghosties. So that was what they did, that instead of popping their toes.
Way more impressive.
I think so. A little bit more impressive than girls just sitting at a table on stage saying, count to five, pop, 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 pop. But Keller, when he started with them, they were kind of stingy with their stage secrets. They didn't tell him like how to tie the rope so that you can untie it and retie it really quick. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Oh, and also, Lisa, have you done the Haunted Mansion ride at Disney?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time, so I don't remember a lot of it, but yeah.
Do you remember in one room there's a lady with her head in a glass ball?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of instruments hanging from the ceiling all like playing themselves. Mm-hmm. I did not. I would go through that ride and be like, this is cool, but why? Like, why is there instruments? And this is why it was really like a kind of a popular seance-y thing to have these instruments playing themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. Disney. Coming up with culture.
Yeah, there you go.
yeah. But anyway, now the guy that I mentioned before, William Fay, the third wheel of the group.
Yeah.
He would do other magic tricks, not necessarily the seance-y stuff. Mm-hmm. But him and Keller were not brought into the big act purposefully. It was kind of like the brothers were being stingy. Mm-hmm. And possibly because both of them were kept out, Keller and Faye bandied together, left the Davenport brothers, and made their own stage show.
Well, I think that's fair. If you're not getting the stage time you want.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's totally fair for them to leave. But do you want to know what they did in their stage show?
What, the exact same thing?
The exact same thing. They got tied up in a box and did spooky things.
I mean, That's hot. I feel like that's something we would have done in our younger years.
Yeah, right. If we had known.
Get tied up in a box and do spooky things.
Spooky. And get paid for it? Okay. I get tied up in a box.
That's somebody's fantasy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's somebody out there right now doing it. Good for you.
Or not.
Good for you. Well, it could be if you're not, if nobody's hurt. Yeah. Nobody's getting
and
hurt.
And if there's consent.
Yes. Yes, of course. Now, so that was the first instance of him kind of stealing his axe from somebody else. It will not be the last time. Now, here's, remember I mentioned before that there was a big shipwreck? Mm-hmm. This is what happened. So, Keller and Faye, that guy he stole from the other show, had been touring North and South America with their act and made buckets and buckets of cash. They were doing really well. They were so popular that they performed for the Emperor of Brazil, ooh, Dom Pedro II, who loved their show.
Wow.
And he was the last emperor of Brazil. They don't have an emperor anymore. And all in all, from the tour, they made $10,000, which today is somewhere around $300,000.
Not bad.
Dollars. Not too bad for a couple stage magicians.
And over what length of time was that?
A couple years, okay. It said.
Not bad.
Yeah, no, yeah, not too bad. And that's traveling by boat and train and shit. So it takes a long time to get around. So they did pretty well for themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, their luck was about to run out, though. So they made all that money. They boarded a ship to UK from America, going to take the same act and go do it in Europe. On the crossing, the ship, called the Boyne, B-O-Y-N-E, sank in the Bay of Biscayne, which, if you look at the map, because I had to, it's a sea that looks like it's carved out of France and Spain.
Okay, so it's not the Bay of Bisquick, where a ship like a pancake, which can be really any shape.
That's a delicious, a pancake bay.
That's what I had for breakfast. That's what was in my head.
You had Bisquick pancakes?
I did.
Sounds amazing.
They was okay.
Aww.
I'm a waffle girl, but we don't have the waffle iron thing, so.
You don't?
No, I wish I did, because I like it crunchy, and the little nooks and crannies hold all the C-whips.
The little holes?
Yeah, the little holes.
Girl, I know what to get you for your birthday next year, if I can do it on time.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Get you a little heart-shaped waffle maker.
You make skull ones, too, cute. You know.
Yeah, little tiny ones. So anyway. No, not the Bay of Biscuit. The Bay of Biscayne. Okay. Faye and Keller survived, but all of their stage equipment and all of their cash sank to the bottom of the ocean.
That's some bad luck there.
Yeah, big bummer. Big bummer. So, it's just like, they didn't have anything except the clothes on their back. Keller and Faye parted ways. I think Faye was like, well, that was the last time. Last time I try and restart. So, he returned to the Davenport brothers. So, it's Davenport brothers and Faye again.
Man, tail between his legs.
Tail between his legs, the Davenport brothers are like, well, I know that you went around the world making a lot of money on our act that you stole, but they took him back.
I'm surprised, but okay.
And Keller went on to join a troupe of magicians in England that called themselves the Royal Illusionists.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That sounds fun.
Pretty cool. I bet they had a good show. I don't know. But one thing Keller didn't lose on this huge shipwreck was a diamond ring he'd been wearing. So it was on his person, so he didn't lose it.
Well, that's smart.
That was smart. It makes me want to wear my jewelry a lot more. Just in case. He pawned this ring in London for some large amount of money. It didn't say exactly how much, but he also got a little bit of money from a bank in New York that he had been doing business with. So he wasn't completely broke. And he was able to reinvest in his show and purchase several tricks in London. One was an automaton. So it looks just like a robot, but it's got very basic functionality. It can only like move back and forth, maybe lift its arm up and mm-hmm. things like that. And it looks like a person, kind of. This automaton that he saw on stage was named Psycho.
Okay.
And was created by John Neville Maskelyne. Now that's another somewhat popular stage magician, but from England. And Keller stole just about everything he could from Maskelyne, including the idea for Psycho the automaton that could just sit there and play cards.
What? What year is this?
The things people used to be entertained by.
No, what year is this that this is happening?
This is in 1875.
And they had automatons?
They did. They did. Very simple. Very like... I would imagine very similar to like the monkey that just claps with the
symbols. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, very, very simple. It sounds cooler, but it's just like a little, I don't know. It's really, it's weird. It's weird. The psycho automaton looks real creepy too. And it just sits there and plays a certain card game that's real simple. And people are like, oh,
I gotta look this up. Yeah, keep talking.
Yeah. Look it up. Psycho.
Psycho
the automaton.
Automaton. Oh, okay. You know what this reminds me of? The fortune teller in the box that would like move a little bit. But I see. Okay.
Yeah, like that fortune. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's a very good reference. The fortune teller lady.
Yeah, that's what this looks like. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So that, I guess that would be an automaton too. Yeah. Very interesting.
Okay, cool. That's all right. I to be fair, Paige, I almost didn't believe you, but sure enough, there it is.
You didn't believe
almost
me.
No, because I was like, what? What?
You're like, Paige, did you get that information from your magician boyfriend? Because you might want to recheck this.
He lied. No, I'm just kidding. No, okay. It is a real thing, and it did show like a card game kind of setup.
Yeah, yeah. Got some playing cards with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Keller saw this on stage and paid someone to make him an exact copy of Psycho. And he called it Psycho. He didn't even try to rename it or make it do something different. It played cards and its name was Psycho.
Could at least call it Maniac or something.
You could have called it anything. Yeah. You could have called it Little Harry.
Little Harry. Little Harry.
Yeah, he's like, hey, stick with what works. Why fix something that ain't broke for somebody else?
Man, I guess copyright laws weren't in effect.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. And especially, I don't think he ever used things that he stole from England in England. Mm-hmm. So I think he was like, I'm going to take this and go make money somewhere
else. Oh, then that's, I'm not saying that's fine, but it makes sense because no one's going to call you out on it.
Yeah, no one knows. There's no Twitter, you know, there's no like you can see pictures of what someone's doing in England right now and be like, hey, you stole that from this guy in England. It's just going to be like, ooh, I've never seen this before. I mean, they had papers, but they also didn't care too much about stealing. So you remember in The Prestige, Lisa, I believe it's Michael Caine in this particular scene, he's showing this little girl a trick. Mm-hmm. And it's a real Victorian era magic trick of a bird in a cage.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Kind of hard to forget that one. But it was a real one that they used to do. And Keller purchased one of these tricks as well. It's a cage. The bird is in the cage. The bird disappears from the cage. And it's like, oh, where did the bird go? And the magician lets it go from his hand. It's like, oh, the bird. Mm-hmm. Look, it's okay.
But it wasn't.
In reality, the bird gets squashed and killed, but the second bird was just fine hiding in the magician's sleeve and like, oh, book. Everything's fine. I know. Poor bird.
They didn't deserve that.
No, they didn't know what the fuck was going on. They're like, I'm in this dumb cage, and then...
Smoosh.
Smoosh. Got smooshed. But anyway, Keller saw this trick performed. He bought the cage from the magician himself, so he didn't necessarily, like, steal it or go to someone else and say, can you build me this cage? He went to this magician named Boatier de Colta, and he bought it from him, and then proceeded to go and make a profit off of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what he actually did? He bought the cage. He went to a manufacturer in New York, gave them the cage, and said, pay me for it, and then you can mass market these, which they did.
Oh, okay.
I think that's hilarious. He's just such a... He's kind of a brilliant thief.
Kind of, yeah.
So, in 1882... he experienced the closest thing to real magic he ever would.
Was it love?
It was love, Lisa.
I got it right.
You know. Romance is in the air. So, Keller met a girl at one of his performances. Her name was Ava Lydia Medley. And this was in Melbourne, Australia. So he's getting around.
It sounds like it.
She wanted his autograph. And he was more than happy to oblige.
With his phone number, not that phones existed. With his phone,
yeah, you know. Got some digits. Yeah, so he got her address, and he started sending her postcards from the road.
Aww.
Yeah, he must have thought she was pretty cute. And they did. They wrote to each other for a good 5 years before they got married in 1887. She moved out to America and performed as his lovely muse and stage assistant.
I was just thinking, like, knowing what I know about some stage magic, a lot of it is actually done by the assistant, and the actual, or the magician, is just usually distracting you while the assistant does all the work.
I'm not sure if that was the situation here. One of the things that she did was play a trumpet.
Okay.
I don't know what that has to do with magic, but she would.
Okay. So,
I'm not sure if she was one of those hardworking magician assistants, but you're totally right. And the one time that I was helping my boyfriend on stage with his show, I didn't have to do it. I was in the audience and I had a button to press.
Oh.
I don't even remember what the button did, Lisa, but it was like, okay, I'm watching. There's the cue. Boop. Oh, I think I remember. It was the planchette. He was doing an Ouija board trick. And if I pressed the button, the planchette would flip off the table, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I just spoiled it for
you
everybody.
Did. If you see a planchette go flying, it ain't real. It's somebody in the audience with a button.
Look for Paige with a little button.
If you see someone with a button, just know.
Yeah. If it looks like a garage door opener, but they're sitting in an auditorium, they're probably the ones causing whatever's going on stage.
That's funny.
Yeah. But now we're going to get to the part where we talk about those posters I sent you.
Oh, yes. Let me pull those up. Doop-doop.
Yes, please. Okay. So a lot of pictures, or I'm sorry, a lot of posters depict him as a distinguished bald gentleman. Not the ones I sent you. They don't have him on those. But most of his had a picture of himself with imps and devils and little demons whispering secrets into his ear.
Hmm.
Like giving him the secrets of magic.
Oh, my.
And I'm so surprised that people weren't like, he's evil. He's evil. He's admitting to working with devils and dressing as a devil. Sometimes he'd come out on stage in a big red suit with horns.
Well, this was during this is Victorian-esque times. Okay.
Yes, Victorian.
But they were all into the occult, metaphysical kind of, you know, spiritualism and all that stuff, you know. Yeah,
it's true.
Would not have flown during the puritanical times, but people were interested. They were like, ooh, speaking to demons and ghosties.
Yeah.
He's getting knowledge from the other side. Yes.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. And the posters without the devils on them are pretty much exact copies of European magicians from whom he stole the tricks. But he was, if he had any hand in designing his own posters, he was much better at it than the European magicians were, because his had brighter colors, more interesting layouts, like it just did a better job. And the ones that I sent you, if you pull them up, one of them is Keller, and it's called the Golden Butterfly.
Yes, latest wonder. The Golden Butterfly, the most daring illusion of the age. That's cool. Yes. It is beautifully done. Now, like, I love the artwork. Like, that could be on anybody's poster.
Yeah, I would get a print of that right now. It's beautiful. Now, that's Keller's. The one he stole it from was a magician named David Devant, who performed the mascot moth.
Oh, I see it. The second one that you sent me.
Yes. Yes. So the trick and kind of the name and the poster were all stolen from this other guy. He just did it better.
He actually did. You were so right. Like, I like the intricacies of the art. Like, all the detail, the fine detail. And so you got the mascot moth, which looks like a Halloween costume store butterfly with, like, no detail.
Which is weird, because it's like, you're illustrating it. You can draw whatever you want. You can do whatever,
absolutely. And then you go to the Golden Butterfly, and it's, like, this gorgeous, like, detailed dress and these beautiful wings. And even the woman looks more realistically drawn.
Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah. It's just such beautiful. And it makes... It just sounds better. It's a golden butterfly instead of a mascot moth. Like, he just was better at marketing.
Yeah. No shame in that, then. I mean, it does suck that
he's American.
I mean, there's shame in that he stole and didn't come up with anything original. But then again, I don't really know how often they were coming up with original things anyway.
I don't know either. And I think we've already mentioned it. They were on two different continents. Oh. So it's like, I'm not necessarily stealing actual business from him.
Yeah.
Because nobody that would see his show would come see my show, because we were just so far apart. So, I mean, it's not that wrong, but it's kind of wrong. Whatever.
Gotcha.
Now, let's talk about the mascot moth and the golden butterfly trick really quick. Both tricks feature a woman on stage who appears to vanish, leaving behind her empty dress pumped full of mist, and it falls to the stage slowly and dramatically.
Oh.
The idea is that that person turned into a moth or a butterfly. Mm. And they both did it.
That's cool.
But it's, yeah, it sounds like it's really cool. So, like, the it was a stage door opening. The girl would go down out of the dress. The dress would kind of be suspended. And then the smoke would come up through it. It sounds like it would be pretty cool.
Oh, that does sound cool. But also, is she naked?
Is she naked underneath? I don't know if she had. Maybe she had, like, a
girdle or something.
Little swimsuit or girdle. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that they weren't making her completely naked. But then again, they didn't have a lot of, like, unions and stuff back then to make sure there was nothing untoward. Yeah. So she might have been straight naked. That's the real trick.
That's cool, though.
Yeah. Now, this is his big, big, big trick, the one that people might know him for, the levitation of Princess Karnak. This was also stolen from that guy I mentioned before in England, Maskelyne. The basics of the trick is there is a woman. In Keller's case, I believe he used his wife. The woman lies on a couch with a long, flowy dress on. The magician does some magic on her. She floats above the couch to the astonishment of the crowd. And to prove that the woman was not suspended by cables, the magician would use a big hula hoop and pass it around her body as it's floating.
I feel like I've seen that. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You probably have. It's quite popular. We got a visitor. So the hula hoop. I lost my train of thought. Here we go. So this was once again stolen from British magician Maskelyne, though Keller had no clue how Maskelyne actually performed it.
Hmm.
There was a rumor that Keller actually snuck backstage and even out onto the stage to see how it was done. Like, he just walked out on stage while he was going on.
Rude.
That'd be pretty funny if that happened.
I'd be, if I were the magician, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, can you please go away? I'm working here.
Excuse me? Security?
Yeah.
Who let him on here? But even doing that, if he actually did do it, it is a rumor. If he did actually do that, he still didn't understand the mechanics of the trick. So what he did, he worked with a set builder to make their own version of it. And I don't know how Maskelyne did his trick, but this is how Keller did his. There is a woman laying atop a plank of wood that extends from off stage, and it was inside of the dress. So, like, goes down the back of the dress to make it look like, you know, oh, it's not, there's nothing there. It's just her dress. The plank was shaped funky. I don't know. This part confuses me. It was shaped weird so that he could still get the hula hoop around it and then pull it back. So it's like, oh, look, everything's fine. There's nothing holding her up. And it doesn't show that there's this huge plank going off the side of the stage. I'm sure he just like held it like, oh, look, see, it's over her head. And then pulls it back off.
Don't let it keep going.
Yeah. That like, oops, it clank on some metal right there. That's the magic. That's the magic metal. Now, I honestly would be more impressed by seeing this trick with the floating lady and then the golden butterfly one than watching two dudes locked in a cabinet with some instruments. But, you know. Yeah.
Just, whatever's in
it just sounds cooler anyway.
It does. I would love the golden butterfly trick. I think that would be so neat to see.
Yes, even if I know how it's done, I don't care. It would just be really pretty. Yeah we know how to, we would do better, Lisa.
We could do better.
Yeah, we would be naked.
We would be naked.
Just standing on stage naked and the dress comes off.
Oh my,
the door,
that was
the door didn't,
you're
move.
Like stomping trying to get the door to open, you just fall. You get 3 seconds of naked Lisa or Paige. Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah.
You gotta pay extra for that.
They'd be like, why is this trick so popular? Well, you just have to see it
messes up.
You,
yeah.
You just have to see it.
Yeah. You just kind of go
worth it. Yourself.
Bring little, what are those little opera glasses? And you hold them like, oh.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my gosh. I was laughing. It made me yawn too.
Oh no.
I just need the oxygen.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I need to breathe too. So, Harry Keller retired in 1918. He never had any kids. Him and his wife were still married. And they went to live with his sister in Los Angeles. He had passed his lavish cape on to an up-and-coming magician named Howard Thurston. Thurston would go on to make posters of himself with little demons on his shoulder, just like Keller did. But he was much better at actual sleight of hand and card tricks. And he didn't do the big crazy tricks like Keller did with the mechanical, you know. Keller really didn't do anything. He was just good on stage and good at performing, you know. and stealing. He was good at that. So
guess you have to be.
A lot of people. You gotta be good at something, right? If you're not good at sleight of hand, which is hard to see from the back of an auditorium anyway, you kind of have to go big. So, yeah, a lot of, he got a lot of shit, especially towards the end of his life, for not being good at sleight of hand and not actually knowing any card tricks or magic or anything. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. You see this paycheck I got?
I'm like, done. I'm retired. Do you think I give a crap?
Retired. No. Yes. Yes, exactly. Another of Keller's magical successors is the more well-known magician Houdini. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Houdini visited the retired Keller at home several times to discuss magic and stage shows, like little tips and tricks. One piece of advice that Keller gave Houdini was, excuse me, don't perform the bullet catch trick because you might die. That was one of his big pieces of advice.
Well, that was big in The Prestige, remember?
It's important. Okay,
that's a big part of the plot.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Prestige. Well, you know, that's true. That is a big part of the plot. Too bad Keller didn't warn Houdini not to get punched in the gut, since later that's how he would die.
Yeah.
From a, what was it, ruptured appendix?
Something ruptured, but yeah, he was known for being able to take big hits in the stomach, but he would firm up his abs and get in a position to where he could take a big punch. But didn't someone just come up and was like, hey, I hear you can take a punch, and just like knocked him in the guts?
Yeah, didn't give him a chance
to prepare himself. Yeah,
and then I think it ruptured his appendix, something like that. Yeah poor guy. Awful. And he died on Halloween, I
believe. You're right. And I think he and his wife agreed that, you know, should anything happened to one or the other of them first, they would try and make contact. If I'm not mistaken, I feel like that was a big part of Houdini, like, the lore. I don't know if it was true or not, but I think she held, like, a seance, like, every Halloween, right? Am I right?
For several years, I think. Yeah. Maybe until she died.
I think until she died, she would hold a seance to try and contact him.
Yeah. Yeah, and she never got, they had like a, not a safe word, like a secret passcode that he would give to the medium to give to her, and she never revealed what the word was, and it never came out. Like, I guess he never visited.
I have a code word with Kyle. Not a safe, what's it called? A safe word? Safety word? What's it called?
Safe word?
Not that, but like if something ever happened to me and I was kidnapped and I was on the phone with Kyle, like I was able to call him, we have a code word. I can't tell you.
Oh, you
everyone's
can't
gonna,
you
someone's
can't
gonna kidnap me and be like, Lisa, tell him the word. So he knows if I say this word, I'm in danger.
Damn. You know, me and Sam were literally just talking about how everyone needs to have a word. Because all these deep fake things going on where it's like a Zoom call from, it's like a video call from somebody who's saying, you need to wire me this amount of money.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, no, what? You got to do it right now. Like,
where they're rushing you. Like, all right, what's the code word? Yeah, we have a code word. And it's not like banana or anything. It's something.
What about pineapple?
No, upside down pineapple. Oh, no, okay. Just kidding. JK. Yeah. No, it's a word that no one would think of. Page.
Okay, so it's not Beetlejuice.
No. Oh, that's a good one. No. I'll tell you later privately, Paige. But I'm not allowed to announce it anyway.
Because you might call me. I might need to know this word.
Give you, yeah. Let's have a code word too.
Might need to know if it's you or not. Like, Paige, you need to wire me money right now.
Look, I will never call you for money. Let's just start there.
Oh, okay. I mean, you could.
I mean, I guess
if you were in dire straits.
I suppose I really could if I really needed it, but I have other people I can go to first, so
yeah. Oh, okay. You're like, Paige is a dog walker. She probably doesn't make a lot of money.
I need you to wire me some Treatos.
Yeah, okay, that I can do. And some dog bags. I'll stick some dog bags
there.
There
we go. That's funny.
All right, so Houdini convinced Keller to do one last big kind of farewell stage show. This was in 1917. right before he retired. So this was to benefit the families of men who had died in the sinking of the USS Antilles, which was sunk by a German U-boat. Okay.
This is World War One time. Okay.
Yes. Yes, I believe so. This was, I guess this was already after World War One. I'm trying to remember when that one ended exactly. But yeah, take a look. Because I was like, this was 1917, I think. Either 1918.
It was between 1914 and something else. I'm the worst. I should really know when this happened. Overview.
I should too. I did a whole episode on World War One trenches.
Oh, yeah, you did do the trenches. I think 1914 to 1917.
Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe? So, excuse me. It had either just ended or it was about to or
I'm
something.
Sorry. 14 to 18. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's close to ending. Mm-hmm. And this must have been like a really big USS Antilles. It must have been a big tragedy. A lot of people must have died. And this show was to donate a bunch of money to the families of people who had lost loved ones on that ship. Keller agreed. And after he did his last big show and he took a bow, before he could actually leave the stage, Houdini got up there and declared, "America's greatest magician." Oh, I'm getting chills. "America's greatest magician should be carried off in triumph after his final public performance."
Aw, that's sweet.
Several other magicians appeared on the stage, hoisted Keller into one of those sedan chairs, you know, that they could carry people on. And they carried him off stage. He was like, you know, standing ovation.
For he's a jolly good fella.
Yeah, he's a jolly good fella. For he's a thieving fella. But yeah, I think that's a nice send off.
It is. That's very nice. We should all hope for
that. I'm sure he was very touched.
I said we should all hope for that.
I'll carry you off stage, Lisa. I'll give you a piggyback ride.
I want it like a la The Bodyguard. Just scoop me up and carry me off.
Especially if it looks like 1990 whatever Kevin Costner. Yeah. He wasn't too bad. Mm-mm. Wasn't too bad.
Not bad at all.
But not at all. I liked that. So, Harry Keller. So he did his last show in 1917. He retired the year after that. And he was to die in 1922. He was buried in the Rosedale Cemetery near downtown LA. For such a popular magician in his day, Harry's grave remained unadorned for many years. He didn't have a headstone, nothing. Weird. That is, until the members of the previously mentioned Magic Castle that's in Los Angeles got the funds together and they bought him a plaque which referred to him as the beloved Dean of Magic.
Aww.
Isn't that really sweet? That is sweet. Nice little remembrance. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, like I've said before, the Magic Castle's pretty cool. They even have
something.
Like I said before, they have different themed rooms, and they have magicians who completely redo the shows of previous magicians just to like as an homage.
Ooh,
if
an
you
homage.
Will. Yeah. Yeah, and they do it for Keller,
too.
Oh,
that's neat. So. That's a kind of a cool idea. Kind of that's a neat idea. I like that.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. I saw a little bit of it, but it's a nice idea rather than, I have to see a whole new show. It would be kind of nice to see, like, a throwback show.
Oh, for sure. No, that's really cool. Play the hits.
Yeah, play the hits. That's right. Cover band. Cover magician.
That's funny. Yeah. Be a cover magician.
Yeah. So that's it. That's what we've got for our episode on Harry Keller, the magician of America.
That's insane. Like that's, I guess you just only think of kind of Houdini and who was the guy that was really cute?
Who?
The magician from like the 80s. David Copperfield.
David Copperfield.
Yes. I was like, I know he's based on a Dickens book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That name. Yeah. Copperfield.
I would love that. I remember when I was little, my dad liked magic and everything. And we used to record David Copperfield's TV specials and stuff. And I thought he was a good looking guy. And I'm like, Dad, I will marry him so I can get him to tell you how to do his tricks. My dad's like, I think you're a little young, but I appreciate it.
You're like, Dad, I can marry whoever I want.
I don't even know if he's alive or what he's up to.
I don't either. I know he didn't die in any of his tricks.
Well, that's good.
That's
who
a
are
good
the two
thing.
Dudes? Who are the two dudes with the lions? Tigers.
Oh, with the tigers?
Lions and tigers.
What are their names?
Siegfried and Roy. That's right.
Siegfried and Roy. I don't know what they're doing, if they're still even performing anymore.
No, David Copperfield, he was good looking in his youth. He's a little old these days.
Yeah.
He's
still got a lot of money.
I feel bad saying that. He's only 67, but he just looks a little old.
He looks ragged.
Run
ragged.
Oh, here. Okay, so I just put in David Copperfield, right, in Google, and it gives you a few pictures. It gives them stats, his age, who he's married to, top things, and then you go down. FYI, David Copperfield's real name is David Seth Kotkin, Kotkin.
Kotkin,
and but if you go down a little further, it says people also search for. I see Chris Angel. He was, you know.
Oh my God, Chris
Angel.
Angel,
Claudia Schiffer. I think they dated for a while, maybe someone else. And I don't know why, but Jeffrey Epstein. So I'm a little concerned about why people also search David Copperfield and then Epstein. I'm really. Oh, hold on. Here
maybe
it is.
His name was on the list.
It says magician David Copperfield allegedly had dinner with Epstein and victims did magic tricks, says court documents. No, David Copperfield, no!
Maybe it was innocent. Maybe it really was magic tricks. Just like regular. Is this your card?
Oh, man. I hope. Yikes. I don't know. I'll have to.
I hope it's more innocent.
I hope. I hope. He was hired to do magic, not like make victims disappear or anything.
Oh God, I hope not. He's not that good of a magician.
No.
Didn't he make the Statue of Liberty disappear one time? Didn't he? They just moved the camera.
I'm like, there's no way you can do that. They just threw a sheet on it and be like, if you can't see it, it's not there.
Yeah. I think it was like a mirror thing where they put a mirror and it's like, oh, see, it's all ocean now. It's gone.
Yeah, I don't know how you manage that one.
Anyway, so, do you have any final thoughts on Harry Keller?
No, just that I'd never heard of him, but I think that's very interesting. And I guess all magicians just steal from each other.
Yeah.
I guess.
It seems like
it. It's horrible, but... That'd be what it be.
Yeah. And I mean, I think he was one of the worst of that because it's like everything he did was stolen, but he did it so well that everybody forgives him for it.
He may have stole it, but he did it better.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the American dream. Anyway, and that's a wrap. Thank you for listening, darling dolls. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you really liked it, come join our Patreon. We didn't steal anything. I'm just kidding.
Nope.
But seriously. Because we have so many extras for you, like our Dirty Talk Show, Dolls After Dark.
That's right. And if you would like to keep abreast of our goings-on, follow us on Instagram at Near Death Dolls Podcast and on Tumblr, neardeathdolls.tumblr.com. And search for us on TikTok. Near Death Dolls Podcast. Something
that sounds
like that.
About right. Yeah. So, and as always, darling dolls, do something.
Be sure not to do something else.
Because we fill in our script perfectly. Oops. Bye.
Bye.
Special thanks to Sam Hears for our art and music.
If you'd like to see more from him, check out the links in our show notes.